In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Can you hear well enough? Even those of you in the cars? What about those who are on Facebook? You can't hear well in the cars? You can. People are saying you can. Okay. Good. Well, we'll try to make sure we do better than last week. If for some reason you can't hear, just make sure you make a sign to me. Hopefully not honk out there, because that'll distract others. But we'll make sure we get it the best we can, and little by little do something that's a little better. First off, greetings to all of you. Blessed afternoon. And especially, thank you for being so faithful. Your faithfulness sitting out there in the wind and the cold, and this is uncomfortable. Thank you for that. It really does warm my heart to see your faithfulness in this time of adversity. By way of announcement, there's a few people who've asked us for our prayers. I don't know if you know Bernie Sanchez from Santa Rosa. She's just caught the virus, she's in Albuquerque, in Rio Rancho, actually. So she's not in Guadalupe County or here in our county. But she asked for prayer, and as well for Jesus Soto, to pray for him in his struggles at this time. As well, there are a number of those who passed on recently from our parish and from our community to keep their souls in your intentions, as well as remember that we are offering the Mass for those who have passed on, not just in the past 18 months. Oh, that's the craziness. Okay, I'll do it next week. Next week, I'll bring the Book of the Dead out and we'll do it. I forgot to pull it in from the rectory today, so I apologize for that. But we will keep, throughout the rest of this month, the souls of the faithful departed who you have specifically requested, whether you put your little notes out there, whether you filled out the actual All Souls Day envelopes that have the room on the back for those who are there, to keep them in prayer throughout every Mass that we celebrate throughout the month of November, the month of the poor souls. Today's Mass is being offered for the intentions of Thomas, Josie, and Tommy Miles. That's the intention for the Mass today. See, that one only concerns Santa Rosa. I don't think I told you about my mom. You've been praying for my mom. I don't think I mentioned that at Mass on Sunday, did I? I'll tell you again here if I did, because I forgot to do it at all the other Masses. You were praying for my mom. She had just been diagnosed with cancer. And we did get a report back on her after her CT scan, and it is determined that she wasn't given to metastasis. So the cancer is not spreading. So thanks be to God. That is a huge thing. Huge thing just to know that. So we don't know what the plan is forward, but given this hope, given this confidence in that, we're no longer worried with that regard, but trusting that the Lord will have a good plan through the skill of doctors and nurses for the path going forward. And the other announcement only concerns Santa Rosa, so I don't need to give that here, but on Friday and Tuesday, the Mass will be at noon. So if you want to be there for that, the Mass will be at noon. We think that this station is going to be good. I don't know if 96.9 is a good place for us, but even if people can hear it in just the immediate vicinity, it's just a small little device. Hopefully you'll be able to hear it at least in the parking lot. Who knows if beyond. See what our Lord has to say to us in these our readings this day. St. Paul speaks to us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. He's saying, "We do not want you to be unaware, brethren, about those who have fallen asleep. We believe that Jesus died and bodily rose from the dead. So too will God, through Jesus, bring with him those who have fallen asleep. The dead in Christ will rise first. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen." Some of you may be travelers all over the country, but if you've been to New York City, there on Fifth Avenue, one of the great and most famous museums in all the United States, really in the world, is located there, called the Met, the New York Metropolitan Art Museum. And within that beautiful museum, amongst all the beautiful art that's there, there's one particular image, a 17th century Italian artist painted an image from the Old Testament depicting an Old Testament scene that's well known about Saint Tobit. Holy Tobit, the man of God, who was in the midst of performing a particular work of mercy, namely the corporal work of mercy, that is, burying the dead. This was a work of compassion for the physical body of the deceased. Now, Tobit, he was a saintly man, a man of God in many ways. And so there he was, working this work, a faithful Israelite, during this time of the Assyrian exile of 740 BC, 740 years before Christ. Now, amidst much suffering and amidst the great difficulty at that time, Tobit lived out a perfect acceptance of God's will in his life and resignation to whatever it is that God wants. That's what I'm going to want. Remember that this is the book where Saint Raphael, that holy archangel, comes into his story there in the book of Tobit. You see him at the very beginning, and you see him at the very end telling us why he was there. But Saint Raphael, the archangel, hears the humble prayer of Saint Tobit and begins to intercede for him before the very throne room of God in heaven. Why did Saint Raphael, this one whose name means God is my remedy, why did he hear this young Tobit's prayer? The reason is because he buried the dead. And here's the passage where he says exactly that. It's from the 12th chapter, verse 12 through 14 of Tobit. He says, quote, "It was I, Raphael, who offered your prayerful supplications before the Lord and who read them so when you were burying the dead, when you did not hesitate to get up and to leave the table and to go and bury a dead man. I was sent to test your faith," end quotation. Burying the dead is a dangerous thing, maybe not in our time, but in that time. Why? Here's the reason why. It was because King Sennacherib, the king of the Assyrians at that time, the king of Nineveh, he hated the Jews. But why did he hate the Jews? Because he was out on his conquest to seek to conquer more land. He was able to take over all of Israel, but not Judea. Jerusalem stood firm. And because of that, he was ashamed when he went home, not having been able to conquer Jerusalem. So he hated the Jews. And he ordered upon his return that when he would get back, that certain notable Jews would be slain and their bodies would be left in the streets to rot. Anybody who tried to bury the dead who were there would be taken up and would find themselves among the numbers slain, lying in the streets unburied. So when Tobit went there, he didn't pay heed to the king, but rather paid heed to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And in darkness, Tobit snuck out to bury the dead. He didn't do this just out of charity for those whose bodies were deceased and laying there. But also, he did this because he believed in the resurrection of the body, the resurrection of the dead in the future. Now, this month of November, as we've already stated, is a month where we dedicate to the holy souls. We pray for those souls who are in purgatory, journeying toward God to be with him forever in heaven. Our blessed Lord talks about what we need to do with regard to our relationship to the dead. In Matthew chapter 25, there he is separating the sheep from the goats, those on his right from those on his left. And he tells us how he sorts them out by their actions. He says, these are the sheep. He says, feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, visit the sick and those who are in prison, clothe the naked, shelter the homeless, and yes, he says, bury the dead. Bury the dead. Sirach chapter 7, verse 33 also says, give graciously to the living and withhold not kindness from the dead. The Catechism of the Catholic Church, in paragraph number 2300, says this, and I quote, "The bodies of the dead must," it's not an option, it says, "the bodies of the dead must be treated with respect and charity in faith and hope of the resurrection. The burial of the dead is a corporal work of mercy. It honors the children of God who are temples of the Holy Spirit," end quotation. Our belief, our Catholic belief in the sacredness of the human body is something that our culture does not value. In fact, our culture is schizophrenic with regard to the value of the body, meaning of two minds that don't meet. On one hand, our culture thinks that the body is sacred in the fact that, what is it? that we all have to make sure we stay fit, that we make sure we watch the calories, count that things are there, only eat those things which are good and are healthy there, stay away from smoking, which seems to be the greatest sin that our culture knows. We spend billions and billions of dollars every year spent on these beauty creams that we put into our face to make sure that the signs of aging are staved off. We have these cosmetic surgeries to make the body that God has given us more appealing to those who look upon it. We change our hair color so that the signs of aging are not present. Or if you're like me, maybe you would put some sort of cream in your hair to be able to regrow what is lost. I don't do that, but some people do. What are we in now, right? A lockdown. A lockdown because there's a fear that a virus is out there that can kill up to 6% or so of those who catch it, even though they're mostly already in their 70s or 80s, most of whom who pass from this illness. But then what happens when the body dies? All of your bodies and my body will one day die. Now the body is treated as an inconvenience, an embarrassment, something to be discreetly disposed of so that we don't have to deal with anymore. Think of our modern funerals. What happens during our modern funerals during this time, if people even bother to have a funeral? There are many people who've died over the past 2 weeks in our community who've not had a Christian funeral. That's a sad thing. Pray for those souls who were deprived of funerals. Whether they say it in their life that they want it, from that side of eternity, they need it. So even if they have a funeral, it becomes what? Simply an occasion to remember the deceased as they were when they were alive. They call it a what? A celebration of life. A funeral isn't seen as it's supposed to be. It's no longer seen as a reflection upon death and judgment, which each of us will face. Praying for the dead and hoping for the future resurrection of the body on the last day at the trumpet call, it's seen as a celebration of the memories and the highlight reel of the deceased person's life. Should we be surprised by this? In an age where abortion is kept as legal and as a sacred right, at a time when this age where the terminally ill are legally euthanized, just like we'd put down a pet, in this age where the body is merely a, quote, recreational vehicle to use and abuse to gain passing pleasure, how can we be surprised in an age like this that bodies of the dead are disrespected, if the bodies of the living are treated as such? Make no mistake that those who disrespect and commit crimes against living bodies will commit crimes and show disrespect against those bodies who are dead. It used to be rare that you'd walk through a cemetery and hear that somebody has vandalized in some sort of way the cemetery, but now monuments are overturned and broken just for the fun of destroying things. There's no care for the dead. It's commonplace to see graveyards becoming, rather than a place for mourning the dead, as solemn places, to see them become places of partying for various drunken feasts. In fact, as a priest, I never saw this as a layman, but as a priest, I've been consistently scandalized, gravely scandalized by the fact that when I finish doing a burial, praying these sacred prayers over the dead, sending them on to God in hope of the resurrection, that somebody will wheel out a cooler and then toss cans to those who are there in attendance and crack them over as some sort of pagan celebration. Brothers and sisters, that is sacrilege. Do not do it. Worse still than that is that my young seminarian, he showed me places online you can go on eBay to purchase the relics, the actual bodies of the saints. They are not to be sold in any sort of way, but rather to be given to those who will be good custody of them, not to be sold as you would any bauble or any gift for somebody for Christmas. The worst of all offenses against the human body after it has already passed on, life has gone from it, is the unchristian and pagan practice of cremation. What happens in cremation? Think about it logically. The corpse is violently destroyed by fire, likened to those fires of hell which come to beat the body and not consume it. This is what the pagans do. Pagan people do this in the past, just like the Indians, though in their Hindu culture, presently do today. The practice of burning the bodies was granted as an indulgence by the church by Pope Paul VI. But cremation was never, quote-unquote, okay. It was only tolerated under certain very specific conditions. Prior to the 1960s, Catholics could only be cremated if they were victims of plague or horribly disfigured by accident or war. The cremains or the ashes of the deceased are so often disrespected within our world, are they not? Sacrilegiously treated. Realize that since the body of the deceased was made in the image and likeness of Christ, who is God, the very image of him, the Word made flesh, and since the corpse of the baptized literally is a temple of the Holy Ghost, mistreating the remains of or the cremains of a man or a woman is far worse than defacing or destroying the statues which adorn our churches. Pope Paul VI, he did relax these cremation laws just a little bit, and in the 1960s, cremation was permitted as long as it was not chosen for anti-Christian motivations. However, it was officially discouraged. What are these anti-Christian motivations? People would say what? They would say when they would give themselves in order to do so, they would say, well, let's get it over with. Let's be rid of this body who is here today. Let's make it cheap. It's commonplace now for somebody to take the cremains, the ashes of a person, and go and throw them into a lake or into a river, to cast them upon a mountaintop, to spread them to the four winds, to hurl them even up into space, to launch them up in there to where they will eventually be destroyed, or to mix them even with gunpowder so that it can be a part of a fireworks display for all those who are living to be able to see. Even sometimes, they'll take cremains and leave them in a baggie to be passed out carelessly, or to be put inside a jewel or a charm to be worn around somebody's neck, or to held in one person's cars. That is gravely sacrilegious to be able to do so, and leaves them to be easily stolen and misplaced. In fact, we should boycott any sort of organization that sells such things. Even more so, and I'm not making this up, sometimes they'll grind up the person's remains in such a way to be able to be mixed with ink and then put upon a permanent tattoo on somebody's body. This is not the way we are to treat that which is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Sometimes their left remains are upon a mantel place and passed from family to family, house to house, making their rounds so the body is never at rest. The church used to call the practice of cremation a quote, detestable and abominable act. There were heavy penalties imposed upon those who cremated their relatives and for those who chose to be cremated themselves. For example, they would be refused Christian burial if they did such an act. They would never be able to be interred upon consecrated ground. And if they did so while still alive, they would be barred from receiving the sacraments, for they would be among the excommunicants, those who had kicked themselves out of the Church of God. Why did this exist? It existed because there were those who promoted cremation had anti-Christian ideals. They wanted to deny the physical resurrection of the body on the last day. That's what we profess every time we have Mass on Sundays. We believe in the resurrection of the body. They would say what? Fine, you believe in the resurrection of the body? That God is somehow going to take care of this body on the last day? I'll show you. Let me burn it, grind it into powder, and then scatter it to the four winds. If you think you're powerful enough, God, have at it. Paul VI relaxed these movements, and in the 1960s, cremation was permitted so long as it didn't go in that direction, but it was still officially discouraged as it remains today. But that's how every evil enters into the world and enters into the church. It begins by something small in a very limited case, and then it becomes a huge thing where abuses that would never be conceived of before begin to abound and become commonplace. After 60 years since it's been, cremation has become just another normal option for Catholics, in fact, more often chosen than the others. It's a rite that tells us that there's a rite within the church that tells us exactly what to do with cremains as opposed to what the body is so common as it become. Most large Catholic cemeteries, when you go into them, even have chapels or places, whole sections which are dedicated to urns, making cremation and not burial a method favored by so many Catholics within the world. In fact, in 2016, the very year after I became your pastor here in Fort Sumner, Cardinal Mueller of the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith, the prefect, gave us a document that discouraged cremation. And he said this, the document says, quote, "The church insistently recommends that the bodies of the deceased be buried in cemeteries or other sacred places. Burial continues to be and is above all the most fitting way to express the faith in the hope of the resurrection of the body on the last day. The document concludes with these words, saying, "The church continues to prefer the practice of burying the bodies of the deceased because it shows greater esteem towards the deceased." But are these truths realized by the faithful? Hardly. Some of you are looking at me right now as though you've never heard these teachings before. Some of you are probably even scandalized or rather offended because I've said these things and you're thinking about what's happened to your own relatives or maybe what your plans were at some point. But that doesn't change the truth of the matter. The truth is always the truth, no matter when it's said, no matter how I feel about it. Nevertheless, we know that, well, that extraordinary things soon become ordinary realities within the world. We can now even envision a future where for many Catholics, their remains and the remains of their loved ones never seem to be at rest, but they are moving from room to room, from house to house, place to place, so that they're never in a place of true rest. Until finally, it's not known what they are in, discarded, and finds its way into the dump on a pile of refuse. What's the reason why true Christians choose traditional burial over cremation? It's because we are supposed to unite ourselves to the mystery of Christ's burial in the tomb. In fact, our very lives. Remember that our Lord was not burned, but rather he was buried. We're supposed to be united to Christ, what? In Christ's life, in Christ's death, and in Christ's burial. In these three ways. So that we may be united to his glorious ascension into heaven and his resurrection in bodily form for all eternity. For just as Jesus was and is, so also, brethren, we are called to be. Again, our sacred Lord's body, it wasn't burned, but like a seed, it was planted into the ground, into the soil, so that it can produce a harvest of a risen body on Easter Sunday, gloriously given to us. Burial allows for us the process of natural decay, but cremation violently burns up the body to ashes. Think of it. St. Anthony of Padua, our patron saint, we would not be able to visit his relics if his body were burned and cremated. We would have nothing to know him of. Think of the incorruptible saints, those who have died many centuries ago, and yet we can look at them and still see their bodies untouched by corruption. Like St. Bernadette, who's called Our Lady's Sleeping Beauty, or Our Lord's Sleeping Beauty, or like St. Catherine Labouré and many of the others whose bodies to this day know not corruption. By looking at them and seeing their bodies, we can see the power of God alive. We can visit their relics, and we can visit their bodies. But truly, none of the holy remains of the saints could properly be venerated if their bodies had been violently burned like cremation. The beginnings of life, and yes, even the end of life, those are the two most important of our short human existence on this world. We must always respect human bodies, as we say, from the womb until the burial in the tomb. Which means what? As Catholics, we say no to abortion. As Catholics, we say no to euthanasia. And as Catholics, we say no to the strange burial practices and rituals that are foreign to our Christian faith. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, know that the only truth is the truth. That burial is the only Catholic burial practice. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.